Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this committee on the 22nd of April 2024. Apologies for absence. First item on the agenda we have from David Paul and Andrew Coleman. Does anybody have any more? I think that's it, actually, isn't it? Okay, brilliant. Thank you. So, I assume we have public speakers?
Yes. Mr. Richards.
Okay. Hi. We have representations which will be taken ahead of each discussion by councillors on each application. You can make an oral representation on an application, which may be up to 3 minutes long. You must begin by stating your name and interest in the application and whether or not you're supporting or objecting to it. Speakers must endeavour to avoid repeating themselves or earlier comments by others. And we don't need to run out of that one. So our public speaker tonight is Stephen Richards, who wishes to speak in support of his application 200439 Tree, land south of 15 Fulton Avenue, which we will hear. We will hear that one first after you've spoken. So yeah, if you'd like to come forward and speak, cheers.
Which number is this?
It is the
Wolfston Street.
Yep, okay.
The second application on the agenda.
Yeah.
No, it's a tree, the tree application.
Oh, okay.
24/439 in Holston.
I've got it.
You sorted everything? That's good. Thank you. My name's Steve Richards. I'm the applicant. I'm in support, of course, of this application. The application is based upon the recommendations made by Mr. Stuart Baker of Treehouse Arboricultural Consultancy. His arboricultural report forms part of the application. The application is to create a high pollard upon two grade B lime trees and prune back the southern aspect of a grade C purple maple tree. These are for safety reasons and to promote the future health of the trees, in particular the two lime trees, which both have complicated health issues. As it stands, the two lime trees, G71 and G72, have been left to grow uncontrolled and unmanaged for decades, which has led to them both having structural issues as described within the arboricultural report. Both trees now are in excess of 12 metres high. They can grow to in excess of 17 metres. The crown spread and the height is now far too large for the location and position of these two trees. Each tree is only a few feet away from the boundary fence, and more worryingly, approximately 8 metres away from the property known as 28A Bellevue Road. The risk of a 12-metre high tree or branches falling from that tree onto a neighbouring property that's only 8 metres away is very concerning to me. I visited the site on Monday the 8th of April, the day the storm Catherine blew through. There was branches coming away from the two trees and falling to the ground. I'm very worried that branches could lead to personal injury and, of course, property damage. The problem that I have is to ensure that I've got adequate insurance upon these trees. I'm advised that unless the trees are maintained in accordance with the arboricultural report, future claims could be jeopardised. I have a duty of care towards neighbours and their property and towards persons visiting my garden, so I should not be put at risk through the inability to acquire adequate insurance cover. I'd also like to quickly refer to the lime trees that are located on the raised pavement area of the parade expo. I see that the council or planning has made no objection to the pollarding of these trees, no doubt for safety reasons. The trees are far smaller in height and crown spread than the trees that I have. Those trees have had regular maintenance over the years and indeed are a significantly greater amenity value to the ones that are on this application. The two trees which form part of this application are located 50 metres from the footpath and are partially obscured by houses. It's for the above reason, but mostly to ensure that I can acquire adequate insurance, that I request the council to approve this application in full. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we will now hear that application. Planning application 24/04393. Proposals for G7.1 and G7.2 line to create a high pollard on structural branches with preferentially nodal pruning at a height of approximately 8 metres, with target pruning cuts of typically 100 millimetres diameter, and establish a radial spread of approximately 2.5 metres to provide crowd clearance of 3 metres above ground level, and to repeat management on a cycle of not less than 5 years and not more than 7 years. T3 is a purple maple to be pruned back southern crown aspect where it extends over the garden bound fence. Pruning cuts will be made back to the last available pruning point to the south of the fence line, and the works will retain a tree with a crown radius of approximately 1 metre past the boundary fence. There have been 4 representations and 1 is in support. And Mr. Neil Yindel has requested that his letter below is to be read out. I wish to make the following representation regarding the proposed pollarding and pruning of 2 lime trees and a purple maple associated with the construction of a dwelling south of 15 Holston Avenue, Exmouth, EX8 3DL. I live at 26 Bellevue Road, and the 3 trees in question, together with another 2 adjacent trees, are prominent in the view from my conservatory, as can be seen in the photographs, which I believe will put up there. These trees are mature specimens of their type and form an integral part of the local landscape. In these days of environmental awareness, it is, in my view, an act of vandalism to prune and or pollard these trees. It's the human equivalent of disfigurement and disablement. These trees will never regrow to their natural perfect form, as any arboriculturalist will readily admit. No pun intended, but it is like cutting off a limb, it will never grow back as nature intended. Another thing which makes this stand of trees so visually appealing is their colour variations, from pale green leaves of the lime to the purple of the maple, and there is also a darker green leaf tree which provides further contrast. Carbon capture. I don't know the figures, but these trees must have a locally significant carbon capture benefit. So far, this is all about me. Now, on to the creatures which really matter and don't have a voice. The local wildlife, I don't know the specific invertebrate populations, but it would be significant bearing in mind the maturity, size and tree species. What I do know about is birds. As I type this, there are a pair of crows building a nest in the tree 2 along from the trees in question, and 4 wood pigeons have just flown into roost. Other species I regularly see in the trees are magpies, blackbirds and jackdaws. Occasionally a tawny owl is heard at night from these trees, and in cold winters the trees provide refuge from migrant redwings and field fares as they rest between foraging on local berry-bearing trees and shrubs. You also see from the photograph a large nest in the crown of one of the lime trees, which it is proposed to pollard. This is a magpie's nest from last year. However, there's every chance that this nest could be reused this year or in future years, probably by another corvid species. It can't be reused if the tree is pollarded. I could continue, but I have said my piece. The proposal is wrong and an act of environmental vandalism and must not happen. We have so few mature trees in their natural form as it is, and we must protect those that remain. One final point, the magpie's nest in one of the trees which is proposed to pollard is actually active. The nest was used last year, but it's definitely being reused this year. A pair of magpies were in my garden a couple of days ago collecting material to line the nest. So now we have the comments from statutory consultees, including the tree officer's report. And they say, the two lime trees located within a narrow plot of land between 13 and 15 Halston Avenue were recently protected following a planning application to build a single dwelling in the site was refused. The trees are considered important features contributing to the amenity and character of the area. Due to the multi-stemmed nature of the growth of the trees, it is considered that the proposed work would result in trees of poor form and low amenity. The amenity value of the trees is in fact that they have formed a single uniform crown. The pollarding at 8 metres is considered excessive and would leave a topped appearance, which would be detrimental to the character of the trees and would leave the trees with poor form and low amenity. The regrown stems within the crown are vertical with relatively light branches rather than heavy limbs growing up from the main crown. No evidence of crown spread or gaps appearing in the crown were visible, suggesting that the structure of the trees is stable. The reference to managing the trees as pollards is a suggested form of management rather than considered imminently necessary. It appears that the only reason to undertake such significant works appear to be to enable construction of the dwelling, which has been refused. No objection is raised to crown lifting of the lower branches to 3 metres in height, as this work is considered minimal and will not be detrimental to the health or amenity of the trees. Alternatively, more arboriculturally sound works are considered appropriate to help maintain the trees to a suitable size for the location. It's agreed that if the trees were left unmanaged, they are likely to reach a significant size, which may be considered by some to have outgrown the location. Therefore, works to reduce the crown of the two lines by no more than 2 metres would help maintain the trees to a suitable size for the location. This would also meet the applicant's concerns by reducing the sail area of the crown, which would lessen the risk of limb failure whilst ensuring the trees have a good fall. An application to crown reduce the two lines would receive favourable officer recommendation. The works to the Norway maple are considered relatively minor and will not be detrimental to the health and amenity of the tree. However, it's considered that the work is unnecessary other than to remove overhanging growth, which is at present is causing no issues. Nowhere in the arboricultural report does it state that the tree represents a risk to the applicant's garage and necessary to avoid possible future damage as stated within the letter of support. So their recommendation is for a split decision. They approve for G7.1 and G7.2 lines. They approve the crown lift of the lower branches to more than 3 metres to no more than 3 metres in height from ground level. And for the maple to prune back the southern crown aspect where it extends over the garden bound fence. Pruning cuts to be made back to the last available pruning point to the south of the fence line. And these works will retain a tree with a crown radius of approximately 1 metre past the boundary fence. They recommend refusal for the lines of creating a high pollard on structural branches with preferentially nodal pruning at a height of approximately 8 metres with target pruning cuts of 100 millimetres and establishing a radial spread of approximately 2.5 metres. And they also refuse the application to repeat the management on the management cycle of this of these to not less than 5 years and not more than 7 years, as they consider the works to be excessive and would be detrimental to the health and amenity of the trees. No sound arboricultural evidence has been provided to substantiate the works. Alternative works are considered more appropriate, which would receive favourable officer recommendation. And finally,
we also had.
Finally, Councillor David Paul has submitted his views and says that he is in favour of the split decision in accordance with the tree officer's report. So, we will first of all go to our Halston members, Councillor Tim Dumper.
Thank you very much, Chair. A difficult one, because very often, as we know, with the tree reports, it's very much led by the arboricultural professionals. On this occasion, We have two arboricultural consultants, one who's working on his own now, but he was, I don't know whether you know this, Mr. Richards, but Stuart Baker actually worked for the District Council two former colleagues or whatever. And the point that that the current EDDC officer makes is that when Stuart Baker made his report, it was on the basis of the original application, and he quotes that, I think, in the words that our chair has just given. The issue about, of course, which you raise about insurance, which I know is a key thing, and a key thing for all of us, because insurance costs are going up, is not actually a planning matter at all, of course. But my own feeling, for what it's worth, and others around this table might know differently, but I would imagine that the insurance company would take very seriously the view of the current, you know, official arboricultural line, and I think you may want to discuss that with your insurance company in that way. I think, you know, given all the facts we've been given, I think I need to also go with the split decision that our arboriculturalist has recommended. So I'm going to propose that.
Thank you, Councillor Dunper. Councillor Andrew Toy.
Yeah, I'd also support the split decision. Yeah, trees are protected for a reason, but we also need reasonable management. So, to the work that's recommended, I would support, but more radical pruning would be detrimental to the visual amenity and the air quality.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anybody else wish to say anything? I would also say that, you know, regardless of what happens today, the officer does say that there are other steps that you could take in a future application if you needed to. Okay, so we have no further comments wishing to be made. So we have a proposer and a seconder in favour of a split decision as per the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Yeah, okay.
Mike, are you abstaining?
No.
I didn't see it, sorry.
It was... Okay, so we've come to a split decision, but certainly read the tree officer's report and see if there's any other steps in there that you can take. And I think they suggest that it will be met favourably. Okay, thank you very much. You can stay this as the rest if you want. I would recommend it.
That's good enough. Thank you very much.
No worries, thank you for coming.
That's absolutely it.
Thank you. Good night. Good night.
Cheers.
Thank
you. You can get a copy of the tree office report card or something. Right, thank you, everyone. So we'll now go to back to the agenda. Two minutes of meeting held on the 8th of April. Does anybody have any comments on those? Are we happy to note them? We need to propose something. I'll propose it from the chair. All those in favour. Thank you very much.
You always need a proposal and a second for minutes.
See,
these things
that should have known that by now, wouldn't you?
It's okay.
So now we move to declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. So, All members need to declare a non-registrable interest in the in respect of planning application 24-0746 full 23 Hazeldene Gardens, as the applicant is a former town councillor. Who may that be?
Lynn Alston.
Okay.
So I think possibly, I don't know if Graham's ever met her, but I think everybody else has probably... Have you met her?
No.
No, so Andrew, you wouldn't need to either then. But those councillors that have served for longer will know Lynn.
Yeah.
So you need to disclose
that.
She was chair of planning.
Yeah. She taught me how to be this wonderful at this job.
So it's a non-registrable interest, so you can still discuss it and vote on it, but you just need to... we need to record that you know Lynn as an ex-councillor.
Oh, does anybody else have any declarations of interest at all? The Bastion Hall one, I don't think I do. I know the museum has some. I'm becoming a trustee of the museum, eventually. And they do have some interest in some of the parts of the building in terms of wanting to preserve them, but I don't think that's one. We have no urgent business. We have one more tree application, which is Brixington, 240438 tree, 29 Durham Close, a turkey oak. They wish to crown raise it to 5.2 metres, crown reduction by 1 metre, removing branch lengths up to 2.5 metres, returning a tree height of 9 metres, with an average crown spread of 12 metres and pruning cuts with a maximum diameter of 50 millimetres. And a second turkey oak to a crown raise to give a 3 metre clearance from garage roof, reducing the crown on the eastern side up to 2 metres and restricting the cut size to 50 millimetres, and retaining an average crown spread of 9 metres. The tree officer's report has been circulated. Councillor David Poore approves in accordance with the tree officer's report. Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
I'm still with the tree officer's report.
Congratulations. Any other comments? I'm happy to second that from the chair. So we have a proposal and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Oh yeah, hundreds of pages from the last one there. Right. So we now move to planning applications. We don't have any in Brixington. We move to Halston. Planning application 24-0662 full. 13 Springfield Road, the conversion and extension of the existing detached garage to provide a home, office and accommodation. New materials on the elevations. This is, there are no comments from statutory consultees. This pertains to Excellent Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2, which states, new developments should be mindful of surrounding building styles to ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the Avenue's design statement. Councillor Andrew Toy.
I think anything in keeping with the existing, I think the application says to match existing, so I don't have any objection.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Tindalker.
I will second, no objection.
Okay. So we have a proposal and a second before no objection. Oh, somebody else wants to comment? I can see you're jumping at the bit to do so, no. All those in favour of no objection. Thank you very much, that is unanimous. Planning application 240701 full. 14 Roundhouse Lane, a proposed detached annex for residents and minor landscaping works. Southwest Water have helpfully advised the applicant to contact them if they're unable to comply with the surface water treatment requirements. And East End Tree says there are no ARB concerns. Again, this is Excellent Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Thank you very much, Chair.
You're welcome.
Yes, I note in this application, I mean, one of the things would be as to whether the annex could be sold separately, and I would recommend no objection with that proviso that it must be sold or must be kept with the main residence. And they in fact accept that within the paperwork, within I think their access and design proposal. So I'm happy to, on that basis, to recommend no objection.
Thank you very much. Do you agree, Councillor Thorne?
Yes, I'm not sure whether it's been as a list as a planning requirement that plots should not be sold separately. I'm not sure how that could be enforced.
They can condition it that it has to be used as an ancillary to the main residence. It can't be sold off or used as independent. They can condition that.
And
that would then come up in the searches. So if somebody tried to, you know, split their garden, sell off, you know, the annex as a separate, I don't know, you know, small bungalow or something, the searches would bring up that it's been conditioned, the planning approval's been conditioned in such a way that they're not to do that.
Oh. And then they have to apply for planning again.
Have to apply for planning.
No, that's cool though. Good question. So, but you're happy too? Okay. So we have a proposal and a second for no objection, subject to the concerns, the condition noted. All those in favour? Thank you very much. And finally, Paulsden, planning application 240746 full, 23 Hazeldene Gardens. This is the Lynn Elson's application, just so we're aware. The construction of a single storey side extension on the southern elevation. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Sorry.
Put your brake on for
you. Thank you very much. I'm really out of control then. Excellent neighbourhood plan policy B2. We'll go to Tim first, Councillor Tim Dumper.
I obviously had a careful look at the plans here, and I can see no objection whatever. Thank you.
Councillor, you talk.
I'm very pleased with that, no objection. And I'm sure Lynn Elson was well aware of the views of the planning committee.
Yes. And the wording of EB2, in which no doubt she became rehearsed over the years.
I think it's fair to say she didn't need to look it up.
No.
Although I still do somehow. So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Could I just pause the meeting for a moment? Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay?
Bye.
Do some work on myself. The meeting resumes at 18:56. Okay, sorry. So now we move to Littleham. The planning application 240710 full. Oikos. Land adjacent 1 Highfield Lane. For a proposed new dwelling. There are no comments from... Oh, there's a comment from East End of Trees who have no concerns. There's one representation in support. Again, this is EB2, must take account of local building styles. And Councillor David Paul has no objection. Councillor Graham DC.
Similarly, thank you, Chair. I don't have any particular objection at all. I don't think it's overlooking anywhere else, and I'm quite comfortable with this application, so I have no objection.
Councillor Mike Rosser.
Interesting history to this. This is an application for a building very similar to the one that was approved, I think it was in 22. After that, they applied for a bigger building on the same plot. I wasn't happy with that, although the committee agreed to that was refused. And it's now come back to the original application. So on the basis that that was approved, I guess we probably come to check. So then, personally, I'm not keen on it. I still think it's open to elements, basically. The other thing that's just it's a general point, which is curious about, you know, that there is this protocol that surface water is the last resort, it goes into the complying sewage rainwater system. But I can't find anything on this application or other applications to say what they're actually going to, how they're going to manage surface water. Well, I know some, I mean, I spoke to a builder who said, well, he's had to put in, what do they call
attenuation, like suds, like sustainable urban drainage system.
But it just seems curious to me that it's going to be part of the decision making process, particularly because of the, you know, the level of concern about sewage.
Do we have any?
Councillor Deasy wants to comment.
Chair, on, just on page six of the design and access statement. It only says the list of sustainable design principles in the following areas that they will follow. One includes surface water runoff, wastewater, and so on. But that's as far as it goes. So, page six of the design statement.
So, one would imagine that if this was passed, that would be part of the condition.
Yeah, that, you feel they're giving you know, some obligation to do this in an ethical manner, I guess.
There's a phrase, trade affluent, lovely.
Yeah, I mean, it says about foul sewage, but it doesn't say about surface water. Oh, hang on a minute, soak away. It says, how will surface water be disposed of? Soak away. Page 8 of the planning application.
It's in there, isn't it?
So it would just be left to soak away.
Well, but they put in put like a porous substance
into it.
Okay, great.
So, remind me, Councillor Ross, are you reluctantly saying no objection?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a proposer and a reluctant seconder for no objection, and obviously the District Council will look at that and see if there are any conditions that need to be put on there. All those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you very much. Right. Councillor Dunbar, have you looked at some of the town applications? This is quite a lot of them.
Yes, I
excellent.
Have.
Excellent,
brilliant.
Okay. Planning application 240148, listed building consent. Flat 1, the garden flat, 13, the beacon. Sorry. I just wondered if I knew the person who lives there rather than the... No. It's for emergency works, which are structural repairs to internal walls. We have no comments of statutory consultees or representations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. I have no objection to this if they are emergency works, and I imagine that the District Council will have a report from listed building. So I'm happy to go with this on the grounds that if there is an issue with it, then they will pick that up. We can't really comment if we haven't seen their report. Councillor Tim Dunper or anybody else?
Yes, second on that basis.
Thank you very much. So we have a proposal and a second. Is anybody else wish to comment?
No, there's usually a condition about using similar materials, but if it's an emergency and it's going to collapse if you don't do it, and it'd be difficult to impose that condition.
Absolutely, and I think bearing in mind it's emergency work, it's good that they've put the planning application at all. So, the proposal is seconded for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Right, Planning application 240442 full, 30 the parade. The proposal for a new rooftop dwelling, including a lift shaft and access. This is on top of, I can't remember what shop it is. I think it's the betting shop and something else on the parade.
Magnolia Cafe.
Yeah, the Magnolia Cafe. And so it's the big old building there. Well, I say old building. Not quite Art Deco, is it? But so you've got a rooftop dwelling on there and access up to it. We have some comments from Environmental Health and some representations, which, yeah, are more about the construction process rather than the application itself. So I'll read it the other way around actually. So we've got some four representations, between them raising concern about the impact of noise on the amenity of the existing residents with regards to the construction. The proposed fire escape staircase would reduce the existing access to flats 2 and 3 and be in front of a bedroom window, which is also an emergency exit. Concern was also raised regarding the impact of the lift structure and the sky walkway would have on the cafe. Environmental Health suggests that the construction hours should be restricted. The applicant should undertake a noise assessment to demonstrate that the noise level will conform to regulations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2, and I am completely torn as to what I think about it. I think in terms of the normal things that we have to think about in terms of flooding and things like that, it's a completely risk-free application. Because it's so high up, it doesn't impact really on the sort of street scene and the view, because you won't really see it. I do have concerns that have been raised in the representations. Is there normally with things like this, can we request, or is there a fire brigade report or something, some sort of fire authority report?
Yeah, I've seen applications being varied, where they start the construction process and they realise it doesn't conform with fire regulations, and we sometimes see variation applications so that they conform to the fire regulations. Definitely seen that in the past.
But not necessarily at this stage.
No. Yeah, well, I think it's separate legislation, I think, that gets it's
under the building regs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and the building reg side of things is another separate regulation that
okay.
Be, but I think in planning terms it's whether or not this application is acceptable in terms of residential amenity, because there's concern about the sound tracking in the building and with a lift going, there's concern from residents about residential amenity, which is a planning concern.
Okay, I think.
And the environment, which falls under the environmental health as well, of course. So,
I would suggest that on them grounds, then I would propose objection merely so that it goes to the district council, what they have a look and see and see what they think, because I would have concerns about that. I think Councillor Tim Dunkler, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah I do. What's going on here? Right, I'm one. Thanks Chair. Two or three things that occurred to me. One was that there are rooftop dwellings up there anyway. Second thing about the lift, I did wonder whether the lift could be shared by other, because it does mean that accessibility would be better for everybody and disabled people, because at the moment the accessibility up those steps is pretty appalling. Yeah. So, I've been up there on many occasions pushing stuff through people's doors. The third thing is that I wondered how much discussion they'd had with the neighbours prior to what was going on, because it sounds that it wasn't very much discussion, and I would hope that the district will encourage discussion on that. So I'm with you, Joan, on second that proposal.
Could we maybe suggest that in principle the idea of providing more accommodation in the town centre is a good one, but I have so we have a proposal and a seconder for objection. Is anybody else's comment at all, actually?
Yeah, well, the frontage of the flats on that side of the parade is quite characteristic, so but you say it's from the back.
Yeah.
So it won't have any effect on the appearance.
Yeah, I think it, in terms of what you see from the street, it is fairly minimal, because there is a slight, it is slightly up above the sort of the roof line. But from where you are, you'd have to be, it's not incredibly visible, is it?
No, I thought you might pick up, in terms of amenity, you might pick up like bin store space and things like that, because the back, they have a, you know, they do have a problem with all those bins at the back and the mess, etc. So, you know, when I looked at it, I thought, well, where's the amenity space for the additional flat? Where are they going to put their rubbish and their bikes and the rest of it? So,
absolutely. Yeah. Hang on the lift. Right, okay, so that's another thing. Help me make up my mind. So we have a proposal, a seconder for objection on all of those grounds. All those in favour, objection. Thank you very much. Oh, here we go. So we now move to planning application 240631 the Bastin Hall, Elm Grove. This is for the proposed extension of the existing floor apartment and the addition of the second floor to create two apartments with an existing undercroft garage. No comments from statutory consultees, surprisingly. We have one representation, which is against, suggesting there'll be a loss of privacy, overlooking neighbouring properties, concerned about noise and pollution during construction, which is not necessarily something we can consider, traffic and parking. And they also highlighted the poor design of it. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2, which does pertain to the building style. This is quite tricky with regards to that part of it, because it doesn't necessarily fit in with the Bastin Hall as it stands at the moment. But it does fit with the surrounding building styles, because we have the huge tenement on the corner from there, and it does actually, you know, mirror the building style of that. So again, you know, I do think there may be issues of loss of privacy and overlooking, and again, amenity. Potential issues with amenities, although it's obviously not so much of an issue there. Do they have a dedicated space? I can't remember.
Well, they've got the garages, haven't they, underneath?
Yeah.
Because we went to look at it. The town premises working party went to look at it, actually.
What did they think?
Well, it was in quite a bad state, wasn't it, Tim, internally? Yeah, yeah. But obviously, part of it had been used for residential in the past anyway.
Yeah.
It mentions the first floor apartment there, I know. And we went in there as well, as because the hall itself was terrible.
Yes.
Floors,
undulating.
Yeah. I mean, this is, again, it's a little bit like the Beacon Vaults, isn't it? It's also a bit like that. You know, we want to do what we can that's best for the building, because we don't want to lose it. We don't want it to fall down, but is this the right thing? Councillor Timber, what do you think?
Yeah, can I just say, there's also, I know, the reasonable amount of local concern about preservation and making sure that the Bastin Hall is kept in a good state.
There has been, actually, in terms of, I know through the museum, there are things like the plaques on the front that they're very, very worried about. Mm. And they were saying, we donated this as a town, or the museum did, I can't remember. Can we make sure we get it back? But actually, the building does retain those. It does retain some original features. I can't really see any, other than poor design, which I do think it's not the best use of that building, and it's not the best development of it, but it does fit in with what's around. I can't actually think of a reason to object to it, because it's not that high. Overlooking properties, I don't think that really works there, because you have a building just up the road that really overlooks your property. Mm. So I can't really think of a reason to object. Councillor Dunford, what do you reckon?
To be honest, I can follow your reasoning, but I'm tempted to abstain because I don't want really to support that proposal.
If we could all abstain, I think we would. Does anybody else have any views, either for or against? Because this is going to be tricky otherwise.
I'm looking at the elevation at the moment.
Can we get them up on the board?
Mm.
What is the application actually for? So that building to the side of the Baston Hall.
If we just get them up on here.
There's a brick building, which is the flat, the existing flat.
Because the elevation of the...
Well, I mean, not a bad report.
So, were they actually applying to do?
Yes, is it here?
The Baston Hall elevation is the same.
So this is as it...
It's the one to the right of that, Mike.
This one.
It's that block on the right then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which at the moment has got a pitched roof.
Mm.
And they're proposing to add the extra story and...
I'll try and find an existing one if I can find it.
So at the moment there's only one flat above the garage.
Yeah, this is...
Right, and now they're proposing to put a second floor in. So there would be two... So there would be two-bedroom apartments above the garage.
So that's the existing elevation here. So you've got this... This is what Jay's talking about is... You know, it sort of mirrors really this property. You've got the Baston Hall and you've got this stuck in the middle. Yeah. And they've I will try and find the where's it, street elevation. This one. This they've gone to try and mirror this building here. I think it's
that overlooks, can you, when you have that building right next to it?
Mm.
You've got to be able to see it to the third floor windows.
Isn't there something about trying to retain the character of Bonus?
It doesn't fall in the conservation area.
It's on the edge of the conservation area.
Put a box there.
It's on the edge of the conservation area.
Yeah, but it isn't actually.
That's really annoying.
Hence why this is that, I guess. That's why they got away with that. But,
yes, that's how I would describe it as well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't relate to the hall itself, Mike. The planning application doesn't
go
to the Baston Hall itself. It's just the garage.
It's not a particularly beautiful building, an existing building, but it's got a bit of character. The roof, because the roof is sort of complex and it matches the building next to the old lift. I think it'd be a shame to turn it to destroy all that and replace it with a box, basically.
If you were going to oppose it, you'd need to say which policy you think it contravenes.
I think you'd struggle
with that, as you say, because of the surrounding adjacent block of flats.
So it doesn't do any of the sort of overlooking things. It doesn't fit in with what the building was, but it does fit in with what's around it. Yeah. The roof's too flat. is that a planning consideration?
I mean, it's not really
It's not inspiring.
It's not inspiring, no. But then look at what's next to it. That's not inspiring either.
I don't think
and that's the big problem, is that they've already built that next to it.
With the bigger building next to it, is it? Because if you look at the size of the windows, it's just... If there's, you know, can you see what I'm trying to get to? With the bigger building to the side of it, it doesn't actually have the other building, the other building. So I think EB2. Either it should mirror the new building, the big, large, 3-4-storey building to the side.
Or the old
or it should retain the character of the older building to the old basketball.
I mean, if I'm being pedantic, I could say that it does, because you've got the very sort of minimalist square bit on the top that does mirror the bit on the right, and then you've got the bit at the bottom, which is the brickwork and the old plaque on there, which mirrors the bit on the left. They would argue it's the perfect balance.
Yes.
So I honestly don't know. Does anybody else have any views? Can somebody have a strong feel? Okay.
Can I propose objection if nobody else is...
On the grounds of you don't think it fits in with the surrounding building styles?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have one for and one against. Do we have a second then?
Could I just say something?
You certainly can, Terry.
It reminds me of when the Jew Club was converted.
Mm.
But these ones don't want to put in parking spaces for the Jew Club on the... You can drive in. And each flat, there's one space, and each flat has storage.
Other spaces?
There are. There's the two garages underneath. There's one each for the apartments.
Yeah, no. Well, they said on the thing, I went through it. I'm sure it's this one. I'm not that confused yet, I think.
It but says undercroft garage.
I think it's the one with the two... Is up. To create two apartments with existing undercroft garage.
So the garages that are there, it will be one per apartment, I think. So each.
Well, something like that. It's on the. It's on somewhere. It's on the things, and it says they weren't going to leave space for garages because they live in the town. Well,
that's
I know
there's
no reason, but if they did like the Q-Clubs ones did, for the whole of the building, they had the whole ground floor put out for storage for each flat and cars. They each got one place. Oh, and putting the bins and everything.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out
that was just
where they're going to put the rubbish,
just
something
on there about it.
Hmm?
There was something on there.
Oh,
about
was
it.
There?
Yeah.
Which on here?
On the pub. Car play spaces may not be deemed necessary. Location proposals within Eton. So I think that means I think that means parking spaces additional to the garages, because there are garages there.
Yeah, that's how I read it.
Yeah, but it's not in a very good shape. Garages, they really would have to do a lot.
But I think that's what they want to do, though.
Mm. No, that's part of the work, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that's part of the work.
Does anybody have a view? Because Councillor Deasy, thank you.
I think I see what Mike's getting at, actually. So the windows. Of the proposed building, and I think that if they did match up to the new block, it would be better and be more fitting with that street scene. And I think that even if you compare it to the existing Basil Hall, style of windows looks very heavy compared to what else is in that street. So I think if that's what Mike was getting at, then I'll go with that and say if it can try and match up, and actually the panels on the front, just that bit different.
Yeah.
And I just they can try and match the, well, it'd be the new block really, because the actual shape of the building is based on that.
I think all they've done is they propose to take that brickwork out and that brickwork out to increase the size of the windows, and then they've replicated that above.
Yeah.
That's why they, you know, they it's They're using the existing window space, I think.
Right. Okay, well, we'll put this to the test. So we have a proposal and a second for objection on the grounds of EB2, because it doesn't match either side. I don't know. It nearly matches both either side of it, but it doesn't quite work.
So,
have they got any designated spaces for the 1, 2, 3 for the bins and the
And if we can have a look at that and see if that's the case, include that as well. We should vote.
I think this is the bin store down the side.
The bin store, yeah.
And the bike, I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, could read it in the design and access statement, maybe. Let's say that.
That whole bit at the back, this bit here, that's like an open yard space.
Yeah, it does, because that's the stairs up.
Because that was part of the development site as well, as well as busting all that rear bit was part of that triangular, funny triangular thing, was part of the development site as well, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah.
So there is amenity space there.
Right. So if we say we have proposed in a second for objection on the grounds of EB2, and that's all we'll write. All those in favour?
We don't have a good track record of objecting on the grounds. But that's one of the things that the review of the neighbourhood plan has picked up, that we need to tighten the policies in terms of what we think is acceptable. Perhaps we need to come up with sort of almost like the avenues design statements. Maybe we need to come up with them for specific areas of the town to say what sort of design features we think should be incorporated in
buildings. Can we look to extend the conservation area as well? So can we, all those who are in favour of objection, all those who are in favour of objection, all those who are against objection, and any abstentions. We have no objection to that then.
No objection.
Yeah. Okay, so it was proposed, seconded, but
failed at vote. Therefore it's no objection.
It was a reverse decision.
Joe. I just want to add to what Lisa was just saying about the review of policies and things. I think the problem with objecting to this on EB2 is this thing that you haven't got a consistent street scene there, and that's the case in a lot of parts of Exmouth. And I think unless you've got detailed policy to say what happens when there's different street scenes, then it's gonna be turned, your objection will be turned down, I think. Do you see what I mean?
It's a kind of a wider thing. Okay, thank you very much for taking the time with that one. Should not be quite so complicated though. Planning application 230670 full, 28 Marple Hill, construction of loft conversion with dormers. No comments or consultees or representations. Again, in section of neighbourhood plan EB2. I don't think this is a problem. It doesn't appear to be out of, like, other people have done it. Again, there's not quite that consistent style of buildings along there. They probably started out quite consistent, but they're not necessarily anymore. So I have no objection. Councillor Dunper, thank you for looking at one of these, by the way.
I'd second that for no objection.
Any other comments? We have a proposal and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you. 97, planning application 240730 full, 0703 full, 97 Tory Road, construction of a single story rear side extension and loft conversion with dormer. No comments from consultees and no representations. Again, EB2. This is constructing stuff out the back of the house. I did think it was quite a substantial dormer on the back. But you look at the location plan, the single story side extension, rear and side extension, it just fills in the space in their back garden, which there's very much a precedent for there. And there are other quite significant dormers on the back of that road as well. There's nothing, what's the word, consistent about the rear of those houses, even though the front, they all look the same. So I have no objection.
Also no objection.
Thank you very much. So all those in, so we have a proposal seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you. Nearly there, folks. This is a strange one. Planning application 240760 full, 1 North Street. Replacement windows to property. No comments of such consultees and no representations. This is excellent. Neighbourhood plan policy, EB1, which seeks to conserve heritage assets, including traditional shop frontages and historic street furniture. So this is the barber shop with the building above it, which is in a right old state at the moment. This is an application mainly put together by the window company, Anglian Windows, I think, to replace what are PVC, new PVC windows with some new PVC windows, which I imagine or would hope would be part of an effort to make the outside of the property look nice, because at the moment it looks like it needs work. So unless there's something I'm missing here, I have no objection at all. I almost went from it. Councillor Dunbar?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. It's a barber shop of great vintage, this. I used it when I was a kid.
Well, there we go. And it's still a barber shop.
It is.
After what, 30 years? 30 years after you
were here?
Yeah. Try and be nice to him. Am I missing anything there?
No.
No.
We're mystified by it as well.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm pleased about that, because you want to replace tagging windows with some nicer windows. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And it's not quite in the conservation area, is it?
No, I said to Lisa before the meeting that I don't actually understand why a planning application's been validated, because as far as I can tell, it doesn't need planning permission. I think it's permitted development. Yeah. But I'm not, I'm just saying that's what I think, but I don't know.
Pocketing another application fee?
Yeah.
So proposal and second before no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. We have nothing with morality, so for all of this. we have a couple. I've just forgotten there's a licensing thing, so you need to put in my usual licensing declaration of interest.
Sorry to add, does Tim, do you still need to do that?
Yes, I suppose I do.
So, item 7, notification of a new premises licence application received. This is for Party Boat on 13A Albion Street, which is deemed to be an art cafe. Fairly limited licensing requirements, representation. So, if we have any thoughts, they must relate to one of the four licensing objectives, which are the prevention of crime and disorder, public safety, the prevention of public nuisance, or the protection of children from harm. I have nothing to say about it. I don't see it being an issue. There's a wine shop that sells book as well down there. There's other art cafes in the town. It's the kind of thing that I think would be useful for the town. I don't think it's going to cause any public nuisance or disorder. Does anybody else have any thoughts? And it's perfectly okay not to have any. Okay, so we have no comment to make. Also, East Devon has told us that they have had notification of a pavement license application from the owner of Palm. This is for Monday to Sunday, 10 in the morning till 10 at night. which I believe is the standard for everything else that's there. This is for the what's actually on the pavement rather than what's on the grass, which is permitted by, which is leased by East Devon and has got permission for this year already, as you may have noticed. So it's actually for their tables, which are on the pavement, which they've had there before, I believe. And East Devon are now doing these rather than Devon County, because the government wants us to. So this is for the next year from the from April this year to April next year, for 5 tables and 20 chairs. Does anybody have any comments? We have no comment to make.
All the cafes and bars in the Strand have got seating outside.
Yeah. It's a long and complicated story that has got me in some issues with some of the people there. But fortunately, all that seats will be behind us. And yeah, I don't see, you know, I think if those hours were outside the norm, then the licence would be amended to meet the hours of everywhere else anyway. So, and they have to have, on the busy nights of Friday and Saturday, they have bouncers there anyway, sorry, security people. Bouncers. I have no comment to make at all. Items for information, appeal decisions, 21 Marple Hill, formation of a new access of associated development. The appeal was allowed. 1A Jarvis Close, construction of an additional two-storey dwelling with associated car parking and amenity space. The appeal was dismissed. Another, 1A Jarvis Close, revised proposals for the construction of a two-storey dwelling with associated car parking and amenity space. That has been refused again, and an appeal has been made to the Secretary of State against the second decision. Or is that the same one? No, that's a different one. Yeah. A tree preservation order has been made at the Lander. How do you say this? Lovering? Is it Lovering House or Lovering House?
Lovering. I say Lovering.
Lovering. That's very subtle, isn't it? Lovering House, Cullen Road. And Tree Works considered an exception to tree protection order have been made at Gaveney, Gaveney House, Silverton Road. And finally, the planning decisions.
Got them all right.
We didn't get them all right, did we? Well done, everyone. Okay, so thank you for your patience and your considered thoughts this evening. You may all go home.